Around the NFL podcast is more scientific than DDFP.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by nothing. No heroes.
Excuse me, sir.
Well, we'll get to you in a second. I just want to, I came back from vacation today. I was expecting some heroes to be here. Everyone away on different things. You have Mark at a family reunion. You have Wes, I assume, somewhere in Cincinnati eating chili. Greg, I literally have no idea where he is. I assume maybe in Japan. So what do I have to do? I have to reach out. I need a lifeline, a man to save the day. Give me somebody to talk to for about 50 minutes. So I text old Dave Damashek, who steps up in a big way.
It's my way.
Dave Damashek, everybody.
I let bygones be bygones. You look to the pen. You tapped your left arm, and out came Damashek to play role AIDS relief man.
This is a special day because I was on the Dave Damashek football program earlier today, and now Dave, for the first time, just Dave and I, a two-man show, a home and home. So a lot to talk on your show. What did we do? What did we talk about on your show? We had a guest. We had a lot of stuff.
By the way, I think we should. I love the idea of doing these crossover shows, and they almost always are very well reviewed. I don't know why we don't do it. Now I did hear you say, yeah. So we talked about, we had Rashad Jennings of the Giants in.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, we came.
Hall of Fame eye contact guy, by the way.
Boy, Hall of Fame handsome too, huh? Handsome devil.
A lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, he's a talented man, plays guitar and piano. He also shared some great stories from training camp, both pro and college. As a freshman at Pitt, he had some really, I mean, he had a quad, you know. I didn't have one of those quads. I just had a regular roommate, but I'm familiar with the idea of you, a roommate, and then two people who share a bathroom. His quad is all-time great. Talk about that. But you said at the top of the show, whoever that voice was, that voice of God you had doing something there, saying more
Matt Money Smith.
I'm not familiar with who that is. But anyway, that voice said that, you know, more scientific than the DDFP, perhaps, but – you know, I don't want to, you know, try and settle any hash here and now, but the football community has spoken. In fact, Jeremy Hill of the Cincinnati Bengals said this recently.
Hey, this is Jeremy Hill here from the Cincinnati Bengals. And if I need any NFL news, I don't watch ATN. I go straight to Damashek.
That was weird. Like, it's just like off in a random conversation he was recorded.
I feel like it really.
Surreptitiously.
I feel like he really fumbled that opinion.
That's not very nice to Jeremy. He's doing the best he can out there.
So yeah, big home and home. So make sure you check out the Damashek football program. We thank you for listening to our show, sponsored and beholden by no one. And to no one.
Stick with it though, man. hang in there.
Today's show, good one. We're going to open up the mailbag because, again, this is a historic show. Sheck and I together, just the two of us. So I sent out a prompt to all the listeners, and I know we share a lot of the same listeners, our two shows, for a mailbag, and the listeners did not disappoint. A lot of good stuff to get to on that. As well as some news from around the NFL. It's the quiet period. It's inching to a close now, Shaq. We can almost see the light at the end of the tunnel, or I guess the darkness during this period of light. Do you like when it's quiet like this, or are you ready to get back into it?
I don't know. I'm conflicted because we really on DDFP sort of go off the rails at this time, and it is very fun. Like, we've started doing things like with offensive linemen having food-based debates, best potato preparation. I think that has been fun. We, on our show today, we talked about The Bachelorette with you and Lindsay and Mark Iztook. I like doing that stuff. We've done a lot of Game of Thrones talk in the offseason. Now, some hardcore football fans don't like that very much.
Yeah.
So I it's not so much what I like. I like talking football, of course. It's one of my very favorite subjects in all the land, and yet I like to go off the rails sometimes. So yeah, so I think football fans will enjoy the return of football, as will I. What are we doing now? We're talking about baseball. That's the only thing happening now. Baseball and NBA free agency. The sweet relief of pigskin is nigh.
It's coming. And we'll also touch, we'll check in on Dave Damaschek's long-awaited Spotify playlist. Where is that on that? He said he was going to drop it months and months ago. It felt like it's become his own version of Chinese Democracy. Hmm. So we'll see where he's at on that. We'd love to hear what Sheck's listening to. But before we do any of that, we check behind the glass. We call him Irish. What's up, buddy?
I just have to say your hair looks fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it does typically, but you came back from vacation, and it's spot on.
Wow, thanks. I really appreciate that, you know.
What felt more like an obligation, Jeremy Hill saying what he just said about DDFP or McGee saying that about Hanzus's now legendary head of salt and pepper hair?
Jeremy Hill 100% because you guys asked them to.
Yeah, well, we'll tease the mailbag here and we'll let the Irishman answer. Someone did ask a question, what's better, the old Zeuser's hair or Damaschek's beard?
Oh,
I'll let you answer that one right now, Irishman.
Wow, that is tough. You know what? I'm going to go with your hair, but I love Dave's beard.
I would go Hanzus's hair, as a matter of fact. It's a glorious mane that he has, and I covet it because I used to have a similar mane. Not salt and pepper, which I find distinguished, but I had a glory in my 20s. Oh, what a head of hair.
Well, that's what's going on in that competition. Let's do some news, buddy.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
Oh. Can't say you're not being respected, Dave.
No, indeed. No, indeed. I might even ask McGee to pull out the old Flames song, the Around the League Flames theme song for you, Mark Sessler, from way back when.
Well, I think Mark, actually he has some family stuff going on too, so that's why he wasn't able to make it in today. But Mark should be back later in the week, and I think that will be a return of the Flames, so make sure
we get
that going. Interesting week, a fun week, but let's talk.
How about you? Before you, what about the news about Dan Hanzus? Look at your rising star in the world of pro football. Are you feeling it when you go back home? Do people notice you out on the streets? Hey, is that the guy? That's the guy who does the ATN?
I don't get that, really.
Really?
I know you get it a lot because I'll be out with you at league events and you'll be noticed because I think you've done a lot more TV stuff. But we have a nice listenership and, you know, people read the stuff that we write, our pages, as you say, but I don't get noticed a lot.
Oh, I think you're the breakout star of the breakout podcast of NFL media.
What a love fest right now. But it's going to get ugly as we delve deeper into the show. Let's start with the New Orleans Saints and Sean Payton, the head coach of the Saints, of course, who is for many years now had job security. Thanks in large part to the man behind center, Drew Brees. He was asked, Sean Payton was, if he believes that time is becoming an issue for Drew Brees, who is how old now, Dave?
38, I'm going to say maybe 37, but he's up there.
37. He turned 37 in January. This is what Payton had to say, though. At this stage he is in his career, it's a question that gets asked a lot, he said on Total Access. I have not seen, there's not a rep of play where I've noticed something different. I think it's a credit to look. We know how he trains, his diet, everything in his day to prepare well, to play well at that position. I think it's really changed. And you hear that a lot now, Dave. And I know that, like, you know, Tom Brady is a guy that I've predicted on this very podcast we're going to start to see some slippage this year in his age 39 season, more a wish than something maybe I see actually happening. But I'm wondering if you see anybody, if there's someone you had in mind from last season, an all-pro type talent, a Hall of Fame type guy that maybe saw a little bit last year slippage, and maybe we will see him coming down further in 2016, and that includes Drew Brees. Anybody that comes to mind for you?
Well, Drew Brees, first of all, I feel like that there is a slight regression in spite of the numbers that he put up even in 2015. Obviously, massive totals, but I guess maybe we can excuse that by who he has catching passes or who he no longer has catching passes there. You know, is it a little too easy to say Frank Gore?
Yes.
It's too simple to say
it's
Frank.
It's too simple because I think he really did show. And he's old, too. He's like 33 years old now.
Well, I mean, the big season, and I hate to bring this up if you want it to get sour as we move into it, mm-hmm. big season for Darrell Revis.
That's fair.
In the conversation for best cover corner in history, along with Prime and Rod Woodson, and Mel Blount probably would also work his way into that conversation. Revis, obvious regression if you watched him play, especially the game against New Copkins, a younger guy running away from him. 2016 looms large now for the future Hall of Famer.
Well, that, you know, that contract, we've yet to really see with Big Mac if that was the right move to bring back Revis. There was a lot of personal stuff involved bringing Darrell back. But if he does regress to the point where he's a league average or a little bit better than average cornerback this upcoming season, it was a terrible contract because they pay him like a star starting quarterback. And by giving a cornerback that much money, you lost all the advantage that you usually have. You never have an advantage when you don't have a real quarterback, but at least you have a lot of flexibility with the rest of your salary cap. So they need Revis to still be a Pro Bowl guy. I think it was a little bit overblown, how his struggles are played up, but he certainly had problems against the 24-year-old studs like a New Copkins. That you cannot deny that. So that's fair. I thought you were going to say Brandon Marshall. There's a couple guys on the Jets you could say that about that gets me a little bit nervous. But
yeah, I know, but Marshall, to me, his game isn't predicated on speed and not even necessarily superhuman athletic ability at all. It's sort of like Dirk Nowitzki. The reason Dirk Nowitzki can last and be relevant this late in his career is because his game was never based around his superior athleticism, whereas I feel like Russell Westbrook better cash in now. Like if Russell Westbrook to look at the NBA, if he wants to move and get a big contract and all that, he needs to do it now because I'm not sure that his game's going to translate. So these older QBs to then steer it back to Breeze and Peyton and Brady, none of those guys have ever leaned on the ability to use speed or, you know, superior athleticism. That's why those guys can hang around as long as they do. And I think Brandon Marshall, so much of his success is really he knows how to go up and get it. And I don't think that goes away with age.
She almost has like the old guy in the gym, the guy playing basketball that can still post up and hit a jump shot. You could take that deeper into your career or your days.
Don't you feel like he has that mastered in the same way that Anquan Boldin sort of had?
Who doesn't have a job, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
A little weird. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, a buzzy team this offseason. Back in October of last year or November, Connor Orr went over to England. By the way, Irish, let's get Connor back on the phone maybe for Thursday's show. We got to check in his polarizing horrible movie segment. Which left a lot of our listeners feeling, that maybe Connor was not the answer going forward with our podcast. We got to get him back on the line and just see where he's at, his headspace, see
tough
where the listeners
fair.
Are, and see where everybody's at. But back in October, Shad Khan, the team owner of the Jaguars, said that the process of getting the Jags back to respectability was frustrating and maddening at times. But if you know football, regrettably, it's the right thing to do, the long process he was referring to. But now, he said Monday in an interview with USA Today, Khan said that we have the talent in place, and I think if you're a Jaguars fan, you should be excited and you should have some expectations that we're going to be a sustainable winning organization. Now, Shaq, when I read that, I'm hearing the owner, who you have to give the ownership credit in Jacksonville, in that front office credit because – and Mark Sessler laments this all the time about the Browns, how they never stick with a structure long enough to let anything take hold. The Jags have went the other way. They've stuck with Gus Bradley, the head coach, Caldwell, the GM. But when you see things like Shad Khan, the owner, saying there are expectations, no more excuses, right? This team needs to be at least a 500 team, right?
Yeah, it's a thing, and I maybe part of it is owed to the region of Football America in which they play, because if you put together a list of the teams that feel the least relevant year in and year out, and certainly it has something to do with their win totals, but you would say the Titans, the Jags, there are a lot of, you know, that SEC country where college football maybe rules So they're always in a fight that seems foreign to us. You're from obviously the Northeast, and I'm from Pittsburgh. You know, football is never far from, no matter what time of year. So they're always scratching for that. And so as far as that goes, I'm with Sessler. Good for the Jags to show a little patience here. It is not a solution for what ails your franchise to just constantly be flipping over coaches and GMs. I don't know about 2016. This has nothing to do with the football actual moves that they made. But when you feel that hype train getting up to 500 miles an hour in summer, when's the last time that worked out for a pro football team? It always feels like it's a year away. People, the fans, the general, you know, football fans, when something gets really crazy, this team's definitely going to be good this year, they're going to come out of nowhere, it almost never happens. It's always 1 year after that hype train leaves the station. True?
I totally agree with you, and I think if you look at the AFC South, there's a lot of that going on right now. I think the Tennessee Titans are another team you're hearing that about this year, and I have to see it. You know, I have to see these teams actually show they're ready to make that leap, because on paper, the Jaguars look like a team to really get excited
about.
They are
so loaded, it feels like, right?
Yeah, and even on the defensive side, Dante Fowler coming back, nobody's talking about that, but that guy was supposed to be an instant game plan wrecker, blows out his AC in typical Jaguars form in the first practice or the first OTA after being the third overall pick. He's back too. So if he comes back, the defense could be scary potentially. And Blake Bortles threw like 40 touchdowns.
I mean, there are so many things. If you get away from the nonsense that I just spewed, you know, which is just trying to follow the trends of what happens in the preseason and then into the season. If you look at, as you say, the actual pieces there, how can this team go wrong? And to anybody who would say building your team through free agency doesn't work, hasn't been paying attention the last couple of years, because while that rhetoric was in fact true, the New England Patriots really blew that out of the water, or at least started it, when they added Revis. When Revis proved to be the missing piece, more or less, for the Patriots to get over the hump. And then look at the reigning Super Bowl champions, all the key pieces they added through free agency as well. I think it's a new world order, and you can, in fact, do that. And you look at Gibson and Malik Jackson, who now wears a ring, and what he'll bring and his ability. You think Ware and Miller benefited from what Malik Jackson did on that defensive front? So too will now Dante Fowler and maybe Miles Jack. That there's some ifs there, Jalen Ramsey's knee and Miles Jack. But if those things break right for the team in the horrible two-tone helmets, that defense should be mighty. That is Gus Bradley's wheelhouse, for what it's worth, coaching up the defense. The question to me is, and I know you and your ATN heroes are all in lockstep on Blake Bortles. The question is why?
We're not in lockstep, by the way.
Oh, really?
I thought a little of his numbers were a little padded, that a little garbage time helped him get to some of those figures, and he led the NFL in interceptions. So I'm not ready to christen him the next great quarterback, but the mailman, who I respect as a football mind, he certainly seems to think that guy could be a top five quarterback in the next couple of years, and Sessler feels the same way.
You know, listen, the physical skill set is looks to be beyond reproach. He runs around well, he moves around, throws the ball well, more or less on the run, and he's the physical doppelganger of Ben Roethlisberger. As a Steelers fan, you know, I have to like that. From people within the organization, I have been told, people who would know about these things, there's some concern about Blake's ability to fully grasp the NFL playbook. That this is that the learning curve.
Are you calling him dumb?
I am not calling him that. I'm saying that he, to this point, has not shown the ability to fully grasp that. That's what two people have told me.
Okay.
I don't name names because I'm not a reporter, and so no one cares about my names, but I'm telling you, this is what I've been told.
Finally, and meanwhile, on the throne of ease. The New England Patriots have the best fans in football. That according to Emory University professor Mike Lewis, who rated fan bases on, quote, tangible measures of obsession like game attendance and social media following. According to those analytics, Lewis, he attempted to take a a hard look at what is really tough to figure out, who has the best fans. But this is what Mikey had to say. These models are used to determine which city's fans are more willing to spend or follow their teams after controlling for factors like market size and short-term variations in performance. He added, the Patriots' victory, another win for the Pats, is driven by fans' willingness to pay premium prices, strong attendance, and a phenomenal social media following. It came down to the Cowboys and Patriots, Shaq. And, you know, I'm disgusted to even read this. Makes my stomach turn. Your thoughts? I see the scowl on your face.
I think those numbers are a little inflated.
Oh! Bunsen burner.
Give me,
baby.
Where's the Roger Daltrey scream? No. That was like CSI Foxborough.
You want the Dean scream?
I need the Daltrey scream. That was we need it. Ready? Here we go.
Roger Daltrey of the Who?
Roger Daltrey, yeah. Didn't you ever watch CSI Miami?
Yes, I know, but we use the Dean scream here. We don't have the Daltrey scream.
Well, that's why you're doing it wrong. That's right. We used to, that's the answer. Like, I think
you want to give him a Dean scream just to make
those numbers. All right, well, I'll try with that. Those numbers seem a little inflated.
Oh, you're
not as good.
Now, a CSI joke, a little bit dated. Like 5 years, he missed it.
I used to. You're right. I'm not going to explain myself to you.
Anyway, this is.
I'm not here to explain myself to you.
I get it. You
or any of you.
I was a joke writer for Jimmy Kimmel. You hear me?
I used to do that bit on the radio, and then more prominent comedians started doing something similar, and then I was lost in the wash.
That's not right. Anyway, this is horrible because the way I look at it is the best fan bases are I'll throw out Cincinnati, for instance. The Bengals, a team that's never won a Super Bowl, and they've had ownership issues where, you know, you might not feel like you can trust the team. That's why Chris Wessling quit on the Bengals as a fan, and they lose in heartbreaking ways. They've been terrible. They still have a strong fan. The Cleveland Browns, that's a great fan base. I will bring up my New York Jets. That's a loyal fan base that has never given up on their team. But the Patriots.
When does it Patriots. That's rubbish.
Went to a school in Boston before they started winning the Super Bowls. Let me tell you something. That was like the number four biggest team in that region as recently as 2002.
It's always there's that paradox that will always exist, and it's hard to grasp how both of these things can be true. But any team that is the best in any given sport, whereas anybody who's inclined for cynicism hates dynasties. I hate this team. Anybody but blank. Anybody who's the dominant team. And yet, it's the Kobe thing. Do you know anybody who's a huge Kobe fan? And yet, his jersey sales are biggest in the NBA. It's that dynamic. So I write the Patriots stuff off as so much nonsense, and it's recency bias and whatever else. People like to attach themselves to a winner. And I got, I'm a Steelers fan, but how can you go against the Steelers when any game you watch, wherever the game is played, there sound like there are 25,000 fans at the game, no matter where the game's. Remember Monday Night Football against the Chargers? And the cheers were literally louder for the Steelers than they were for the Chargers on that night. The Cowboys are the only team that I'll hear otherwise, and maybe the Packers.
But this is why, and this, you make a good point that the Steelers fans travel extremely well, and there's something to be said for that. But part of the reason that they travel well is because, you know, fans like to go watch their team when there's a good team to watch. The Steelers have been a really good team longer than they have it in the past 40 years. And, the teams, the fans that have had crummy teams to follow for decades and still sell, the Minnesota Vikings, that's a great fan base. I mean, teams that have had to swallow a lot of S.
I hear you, but at what point does it cross over into you from being loyal to being a sucker? And that really has to do with, do you feel the effort from the front office? If you feel, listen, I'm standing by them, they're doing everything they can to get this thing right. But again, to refer back to another Pittsburgh team, the Pirates, there were years where they were demonstrably not trying. You know, they were going out of their way to make money, not to bring in good players. And that's when you become a sucker. And as far as the Bengals go and their fan base goes, this is something that a lot of people get upset about when I say it. But at what point does Marvin Lewis get held to a higher standard. And the excuses, even from Chris Wessling, is, well, shit, I mean, look at how bad they were before Marvin Lewis arrived. All right, that means something for a long time. But it's year 13 already, man. Win a playoff game. Same goes for Andy Dalton. This is a big year, 2016, for the Bengals. I know we didn't want to go into the Bengals here, but I will say that everybody who is an apologist for Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis's Bengals will say, well, the thumb injury really derailed what was going to be a new day for this organization and for these guys. And or was it a stay of execution? 2016, you tell us.
Mm.
This is a big one this year.
Solly Wilcox, when I was doing my pain rankings last summer, he was on the Marvin Lewis train. He said, Marvin Lewis raised the Titanic, and people should not forget that.
All right.
But at a certain point, you got to take the Titanic home.
That's exactly right. How long do you get? Well, but you would say that because you're used to winning Super Bowls, but the standard is different. All right, I get that. But how long can the fans just sit idly by and say, hey, we're not the worst team in the NFL anymore? And by the way, you also went to two Super Bowls. It's not like you're not the Jets. You went to the Super – you actually had the Ken Anderson Bengals and then the Boomer Bengals. It's not like it's a complete joke of a franchise.
You had one, Irish, before we move on?
Yeah, I've seen it firsthand through my lovely mother, the Buffalo Bills fans.
Oh, great
example.
They're
the best. They're the best. I love those Bills fans.
Green Bay Packers, another one.
You talk about swallowing S. I mean, for 4 years, like they got there, but they failed each time. And then
right, but that's kind of a loaded thing because that means they were that was also unprecedented to go to the Super Bowl 4 times in a row. But then for nothing, they've never been to the playoffs since 2000 now. That is as dark as it gets. All right, let's move on. That's what's happening in the news. Good news seg, Sheck.
All right, it was all right.
It's like 7 out of 10. Oh, I usually give out a pre-show grade.
Ooh.
We're into the show, so this kind of complicates it, but I will give – I feel good about the rest of the show from this point on. Really confident. Great to have Sheck here. Really respect Sheck.
Oh, shush.
Love doing the show. Pre-show grade from here on out, B-.
Oh. All right. I guess there's a little bit of a carrot and a whip at the same time there.
Hey, let's check in on Sheck's Chinese Democracy.
All right, let's do this.
All right, so.
All right, there you go, fella.
Months ago, Sheck told us he was working. This is all I like to take credit for this because I put out my deep alternative of the 90s Spotify playlist. And Sheck said, oh, I can do that. So he started working on his own playlist.
That's ridiculous. It's rewriting history. I didn't do it. Yes. Wait, Hanses is doing it? I'll do it, but do it better.
So anyway.
I discovered, to my pleasure, because I'm well behind the times, I just got Spotify, and what a revelation. It's changed my life.
That's funny. My brother, who's younger than me, but is not as technologically inclined, he discovered Spotify also recently, and it changed his life. He raves
great.
About it.
What a thing it is. It's like the radio, except all the songs you want to hear.
Anyway, so millennials rolling their eyes. But you're working on this. I've been waiting for this thing to drop because you're a very proud man when it comes to your music tastes. Sometimes you've hit out at me because you think I'm a little too mainstream.
I don't care if you're mainstream. I couldn't care less. I think it's weird that one of your favorite bands is Travis.
Oh, I love Travis.
That's weird. I mean, that's nothing to,
one of the great alternative rock bands of the late 90s and still putting out good music to this day.
Is that right?
Travis.
They're still around.
They are still around.
Not just one guy.
No, the band in full.
Bad
Travis.
Name, bad everything. Yeah, I've been working on my list there.
Pavement, by the way. That was Sheck's favorite band. Would that be
one of my favorites? Yeah, I would say that's one of my favorite bands. I mean, listen, I'm not that far afield. I like Led Zeppelin is my favorite band of all time. How do you heard of them, right?
Zeppelin.
Is that super hip to say I like Led Zeppelin?
No, not at all.
I also like Skynyrd. How about that? It's rangy.
Mm. So now this is Sheck actually playing out of his phone. This is a sneak peek right now at the Spotify playlist.
My favorite Skynyrd song. One of the if I had to go off to a desert island. And I only got to have 5 songs with me. This would be one of them.
Tybee Island?
I'd love to go to the island.
This does show that I'm a little younger than you because I didn't know that's Tuesday's Gone, of course. I didn't know that song existed till the final
scene. Dazed and Confused.
No, not even.
Oh.
The final scene of Happy Gilmore when he looks up to heaven and sees the alligator, Carl Weathers, and Grandma all together.
I got you recognize this? Well, there are all sorts of good songs that this character put together. But this was a cover.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps the greatest cover song. That's a good list to put together, too. Best covers ever.
Johnny Cash.
Cash's late in life cover albums.
Rick Rubin.
Put out were great.
And
some of them, at least.
And that little connective tissue there, of course, you were motivated to do this through my deep 90s alternative. I Have Hurt, the original by Nine Inch Nails on my playlist.
Ew, I don't like that song.
Oh, what a song that is. Slow burner. What else you got on?
Stiff Little Fingers. How about that?
This is a little too hipster for me.
This is hipster.
I never really connect. This is a little like, I don't like your type of music. This is real music. And then it's like.
This is punk music.
Where's the melody, man?
That's three chord punk music.
I know. I never connected with it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, some things I connect with, some things
I
don't.
How about this? This is, here's another, probably, this would probably come with me, one of the five songs. Grateful Dead. Let's go from punk music. How about going to Love and Flowers and.
This is eclectic. That's why people are excited about this.
Out in the Sun. Some of the best times of my life. Going to see the Dead. Sitting on a grassy hill. In one of those open air venues.
Let me ask you a question. Jerry Garcia, of course, has been. He's no longer with us.
Since I heard about that.
21 years now. It's been a long
time. Oh, my God. My friend Reggie and I were going to see him play at Soldier Field just before his untimely passing.
Ouch. Well, let me ask you this.
Now, this is hipster.
Okay, let's hear it.
This is Rural Alberta Advantage.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, this is relatively obscure current music.
All right. I like the sound of that. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
If you could see one act at any point in their career, spanning the years and decades, who would the act be and what year or tour would it be?
Whoo!
I'll throw out mine first.
Go ahead, yeah.
As you know, I'm a huge U2 fan, which isn't easy either, by the way. Catch a lot of heat for that. The first U2 tour I saw was in 97, but if I could have seen the Zoo TV tour in 1992, when they had just reinvented their sound and they had
kind
of taken everything in a different direction, and it was a really state-of-the-art tour at the time, I would have loved to see the Zoo TV tour in 1992. I was a little too young for it. That is the one show.
Who was your first show that you saw?
First show I saw, you'll like this one. It was The Counting Crows and Cake at the Beacon Theater in 1996.
All right. Listen, you start somewhere. I saw I've been out. I went to see Genesis once. So
got some good songs.
Yeah, that's right. But this was Phil Collins and all his cheese. This is right around. I don't know if Sussudio had happened yet, but it was right in that era there.
Me and my brother, we have like a fun game whenever we get together. We watch the I Can't Walk live, it was like a video from a live show from 1993 or something, Genesis, and it's the tackiest thing you can ever imagine.
I Can't Walk, yeah.
You remember the video where they're doing the dance?
Yes.
They do that across the stage with like 97,000 whites watching it with high-waisted jeans. It's amazing. You have to check it out.
Yeah, that was a bleak. That was a bleak run for a once proud band. That wasn't good. Hey, listen. Let's hear it. You couldn't be cheesier than this. Sean's brother and Chris's brother.
Oh yeah,
Michael Penn. I love this song. I loved it when it came out in '91 or '92-ish, right when you were wishing to see U2.
Yeah,
and I still love it.
I had no idea the relation.
You can still go and catch Michael Penn playing in clubs around Los Angeles, if that's your desire.
I would go to hear that song. All right, so who is it? The act and the tour or year era?
I saw Cash before he went. I saw...
You can see Cash in San Quentin. You know what I'm saying? We can go anywhere you want with this.
Wow. You know what? If I could go and see Cash play the San Quentin show... I don't know that there would be one that I would rather see than that.
That's pretty good.
I can't cite a specific Zeppelin show, but I certainly would love to have seen them at the height of their powers. And then, you know, it's an, you know what? I was going to say the Beatles, of course, are an obvious. These are the lamest answers ever, I guess. But I'd love to have seen the Ramones. I would love, you know, in that, you know, when their first record broke. I'd love to see that. To me, what remains the greatest front man ever is Mick Jagger. I'd love to see Mick Jagger on the. Sure. I don't. Did they tour around Exile on Main Street? If they did, then that I guess that would be a tough one.
You to go make. To that concert where the dude got stabbed. The part of San Altamont.
I'll tell you. Watch the documentary on Altamont, and they're playing "Sympathy for the Devil." They're playing this fevered, fiery version of "Sympathy for the Devil," and literally clouds of smoke are rising up while the Hell's Angels are doing terrible things to the fan and the hippies, and they don't know what's going on, and there are people hallucinating, and there are bullies out there in leather, and Mick Jagger and Keith Richards are giving you the soundtrack right on the stage in front of you. It's something to behold. I wouldn't want to be at that one.
Yeah, read about that because the Rolling Stones hired the Hell's Angels to work security for a public concert at a park that led tragic results, but it went down in rock history.
This is one of my favorite bands, Spoon. This is early Spoon. Oh, yeah, do you?
I do. I love
Series of Sneaks, my favorite record of theirs. Got some Built to Spill on here, of course. Perfect from now on. That would be one of my records that would go with
it. It's a work in progress. You're going to let us know when it drops. So I feel like now that we've talked about it, this is the time to strike while the iron's hot. Get it out there to the people. You don't want to pull an Axl Rose and you held on to Chinese democracy 10 years later than you should have, and then no one cares.
You're right.
Got to get it out.
I'm not doing it for the people. Everything's not a show. You don't always got to be on, Hanzoos. Some things remain sacred.
I can't turn off. All right.
Have you announced your big news here?
No.
Oh,
all
right.
What news?
Your personal news.
Oh, that I have another one on the way?
Yeah.
I have.
Oh, I wanted to.
And congratulations to Sheck.
Thank you. I wanted to give you some names real quick. I wanted to throw some names out to you. Some actual, as helpful as what you should do in my book is what you shouldn't do. And if you're naming a masculine child, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but just in case it's a
boy.
I knew that, but I didn't want to say that on the air. Did you just hear? That's a recorded lie, Damashek just heard. See if you can study that for the next time. If Dave's lying, see if you can notice anything in that sentence before Hanzoos let me off the hook. Here are the names. This is one of my ongoing lists in life is names that you shouldn't name a baby boy.
That's good because we actually have a name in mind. I'm going to see if this actually is on this list.
Gary.
Gary's out.
Gary the baby is a terrible name.
Gary's out.
Like Brandon is a good name for a baby, but not for a grown-up man.
Oh,
you're talking Cody.
Irish.
That's why I go by Irish now, not Brandon.
Yeah. Cody. Yeah, see, now you sound
or
different.
Or McGee,
right.
As you.
Right, I mean, now you sound, you sound like.
Now you sound like a bad director from 2002.
But right, Toby might be cute or Justin might be cute for your baby, but when he's a grown man, where's the respect he's going to get? Still waiting.
Tough spot.
Here's another one. Glenn the baby. Oh, he's adorable. Look at how adorable he is. What's his name? Luther. You don't want to be Luther the baby.
No.
Kevin. Wayne. Wayne the baby. How would anyone in the history of the world ever say when they saw the little baby, the little bundle of joy, and say, oh, we got to call him Wayne. Wayne the baby.
Let me hear. I'm interested why you're taking shots at Kevin.
I just think Kevin the baby. Oh, is that the under consideration?
No. It's my brother's name.
That's right. Kevin Danger. That's right. It's weird, isn't it?
I'm happy with my name. I'm happy I got Daniel. It's a solid name.
Well, because Dan and Daniel and Danny. You know, like Danny the baby, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy. It's cute, and it's, you know, has some history to it in pop culture and everything. Kevin the baby.
The most famous Kevin is Kevin Arnold from Home Alone.
Is that true?
Well, can you name a more famous?
I'm running through Kevin Falk. Yeah. Kevin Stevens of the Pittsburgh Penguins won a couple of Stanley Cups with them that fell on some hard times.
All right.
About it.
We got to move on. All right, so.
Kevin Cobb.
Kevin Costner. Keep an eye out for Sheck's Chinese Democracy. Before we go, let's check in with the mailbag. We don't have a mailbag drop. That's on me.
Well, that's on me too.
I'll do it.
You didn't. There you go.
Learn that trick. Your kid is moving into the age where he'll be impressed by that sort of My older children are very impressed by stuff like the fake paper rip right now. I'm sure your little one now is impressed by the taking the nose off, and I have your nose here.
Yes, absolutely.
Kevin Spacey, by the way, is a good one.
Good one, solid one. All right, let's start right here. I don't know if we've talked about this before, Sheck, but let's revisit it if we have. Matt Perkins, at Matthew S. Perkins, writes, "We heard about the best football books. That's on last week's podcast. While I was away, they discussed books.
Books.
I'm not a voracious reader. I'm a busy man. So I sat that one out. The guys talked about a bunch of football books they love. Check it out if you want. This Matt Perkins had this to say. We heard about the best football books. What about the Mount Rushmore of football movies? And this, to me, Sheck, is one of the great mysteries in American popular culture, that a beloved sport like football, which is only getting more and more popular, cannot turn out any good football movies. And it's gotten to the point now where it seems like, and I'm not even going to count Concussion, because that was really an anti-football movie on a lot of levels. It feels like Hollywood has now stopped trying, because it's guaranteed box office poison, to borrow a quote from Norm Macdonald. But if I had to make a list, and keep in mind, this is the best I could do. I'm not doing bits here, Dave.
Lay it on me. I can't wait to hear, because I agree with you and have lamented this myself. The best sports movies in my book would be, put them in whatever order you want to put them in, but I would say The Natural. Mm. And notice what these movies have in common. The Natural, Hoosiers, and Slapshot. And Slapshot is mostly comedic, plays mostly for comedy, but what they all have in common is that you buy that the actors are actually capable of doing what they're supposed
big part
to be
of
doing.
It.
How many times, and it's hacky at this point to make fun of Robert De Niro for throwing like a girl, but I mean, really, if you're making a movie with the attention to detail that's paid to every element of it, don't you think when you're casting your actor that he should be able to look like he knows how to throw a ball?
Absolutely.
The Natural is great because Redford, you buy it. You don't question for a second, like, I don't know, he doesn't really look like he could fit in with the other guys out there. That's the key. The kids in Hoosiers could all shoot it, and by the way, the higher standard, they all look like they're shooting it in 1952. They all have that
right.
That period-specific kind of set shot, too. And you buy it. But so why then in football can they not approximate what it looks like? Instead, what they do in football movies is like the last play of the game. They're on their own 21-yard line. They have to go the length of the field to win this game. And then the QB scrambles for a touchdown.
Right.
And he seems to elude 132 defenders
or
along the way. What?
The scramble, the fumble, the pick up the fumble, ludicrous trick play to the fatty. And then that's how they win the game.
It angers me.
They can't do it. They cannot get the reels.
Lay your list on me. I can't wait to hear what is even what counts as a good football
movie. Yeah, like, for instance, Varsity Blues is a rewatchable cable movie, but by no means a classic. I mean, it has the classic line.
Playing football at West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime.
So that accent.
But I don't want your life.
Ron Lester, rest in peace, who played Billy Bob in the movie. He just passed away recently. He took it to the grave that he just despised Vanderbeek's Southern accent, because Lester was a Texan, a native Texan. But anyway, I would put
Love that breathy. That his voice coach apparently instructed him the key to having a Texas accent. I don't want your life.
Varsity Blues would be on my list. I would put Rudy on my list. Again, a rewatchable movie. I still love the ending. Get the goosebumps with the music when he gets in the game. Not a perfect movie, but then I seriously run out of options. Am I going to put Unnecessary Roughness on this, or
no,
Necessary Roughness?
Please
on this
don't.
List?
That movie is not funny.
Am I going to put Friday Night Lights? The movie. The movie was flawed. The TV show was brilliant, but the movie was flawed. draft day was a pile of crap. Let's be honest, even though the Sizzler seemed to really like it. I did not see, and this is a bad job at me as a professional football writer, I have not seen Brian's Song or the original Longest Yard. I would think they would probably fill out the last two spots for me. But
Longest Yard has some legit entertainment value to it. You might get some legitimate laughs at it. The problem with that one, watching it in 2016 for the first time, you've seen those jokes repeated. That's what ails classic comedies across the board, is that then people obviously copycat that. It's like watching I Love Lucy. Why was this funny? Well, so many people were inspired and mimicked it that now all those jokes have been one-upped and two-upped and so on. But yes, watch The Longest Yard. It's much better than the Adam Sandler one. And, of course, by the standard I laid out at the top, Burt Reynolds being a college football player, you buy him as a football player. They mix in some actual players. Ray Nitschke has one of the more memorable scenes in that. So I would list that in a sad and shallow group of football movies. The best is, you're right, you said it, Rudy, that's got to be your number one.
Some people get excited about Any Given Sunday. I can't get into it.
I cannot stand Any Given Sunday.
And you know what? I think it's a little cheesy, and also I can't get past horrible fake team names like the Miami Sharks. That trips me up every time.
I'm surprised you say that, because I kind of thought that that was the one thing they got right, was I thought that was kind of a cool uniform. Spare, black and white. And the Miami Sharks makes regional sense. I did hate the team that they played in Cowboy Stadium or in Texas Stadium for the title. They had like kind of like a Saints kind of thing, but they were really ugly and they had a big logo on the front. But that's the play. That's what Jamie Foxx scrambles on the last play for like 80 yards.
It's okay, Shaq. You have like 14 kids now. You got a lot of stuff going on in your brain.
I can't keep them all straight. But what else is in there? What else is even a possibility?
That's what we're talking about. If you ask, I would say if you ask 100 people or everyone in NFL media under this roof right now, their top four, at least half of them would put Any Given Sunday on there, which really tells you a lot about what's going on. That's a deeply flawed movie. Anyway, we'll think about that.
Brian's Song. Now that you've seen a million other tearjerkers, this is the one that guys always say, that's the one movie that makes me weepy. There are a couple of sad things, but looking back on that one, doesn't really hold up because Jimmy Kahn is a football player, and you're not really
possible. Irish, you had one?
How do you guys feel about Remember the Titans?
Oh, that's a good movie.
It's all right.
That's good. That would probably be on my – again, but it's not in my top 200 movies ever, and yet it might be on my top four football movies. Something's off.
I got one. I'm sorry. Legitimately, you want to see some actually remarkable football footage, go and watch Black Sunday. It's a terrorism movie in which the terrorists take over the Goodyear blimp during Super Bowl X, and they fly it in, and I forget what they were trying to do. The intent was to go into the stadium, into the Orange Bowl and blow it up or whatever it was. The blimp is over there, but to show what a different time it was in the world, they had the camera crews all over the field, and the access they had, you would never get in modern day. The NFL would never clear such freedom to the shooters. But the access that they have, the field level access all over the field of, you're watching Lynn Swann make his great catch in Super Bowl X, and Staubach and Drew Pearson and everything else. It's phenomenal, and it does remind me of something that's always stuck in my craw too, which is Hollywood hates Pittsburgh sports teams. Black Sunday, the Steelers are terrorized. Heaven Can Wait, that's number two. Heaven Can Wait's my second favorite football movie. That's a great one with Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty's character is on the Rams, and they beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl. That would never happen in real life. More hatred for Pittsburgh. The Batman movie in what so-called Gotham is obviously in Heinz Field. What happens there? They blow it up. How about in Sudden Death, Jean-Claude Van Damme terrorized during the Stanley Cup Final?
Isn't that the movie where Van Damme ends up somehow being the goalie and he's standing on his head?
That's right. He also is forced to kill Iceberg, the mascotting legend, Because a terrorist puts on Iceberg's costume, and Van Damme has no choice but to dispatch him.
I'm looking at the tagline right now for Sudden Death. Action goes into overtime.
That's right. Oh, and one more for you. One more. The Natural. Who does Roy Hobbs beat in the one-game playoff? The home run? The Pittsburgh Pirates. And what happens at the end? He hits the ball into the lights. They explode. Dangerous shards of glass rain down on the outfielders of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Who knows what their fate was? Hollywood doesn't care. They're busy following around the New York night celebration.
Well, let me just say before we move on, I'm so sorry you have to have this cross the bear, Dave, with Hollywood and Pittsburgh sports teams. I'd much rather have to deal with that as a Jets fan and have six rings.
No, I mean, it's fair, right? That's what it goes the largesse, the shadow cast by Pittsburgh. You need to have a bully that, that is who our heroes beat? Wow, Pittsburgh doesn't get any better than that.
Next question from Vinny Houseplant. Oh, I love Vinny. Vinny actually is a gifted singer-songwriter. You may remember him, Sheck, and I don't know if this is actually on your playlist. Let's listen.
Originality is burning. Reminder of the darkest timeline. My heart aches for Dwayne Bowe. Piven's hair is sentient. Don't forget Jersey. Yes, your love is a personal hardship.
Yes, the great hit from Vinny Houseplant, Hair Zeus.
I used to, you know what?
Took a collection of my tweets, served as the verses, and then that excellent chorus.
That's awesome. The only thing that brings me down is that Vinny Houseplant used to follow me, and he used to write me on Twitter.
Ouch.
No, he doesn't.
This is awkward.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Vinny, reach out to Jack.
Come on home, Vinny.
I want to know, Vinny asks, what team Hare would adopt if he was ever disallowed the Jets. Same for Sheck. No Steelers. For me, I would definitely rule out any team that's had a significant level of success, because that would mean I would miss the good times and then just be jumping aboard a ship that already had glory. So I would never do that. I'm living in L.A., so the Rams make a lot of sense. And, yes, they have that title, but that was a long time ago now. So the Rams or one of the teams from my pain rankings, I would say. Let's say the Browns would be kind of fun to get on board with Sessler, although that feels like even worse than being a Jets fan. So it would be a bad team that's on its way up, or maybe the Rams since I'm in L.A.
That's right. And, you can't be a front runner like so many of our coworkers are. They just jump on with whoever is good at the time. You say L.A. It's not a decision you can make intellectually. It's one made with the heart, and I think the Rams will win you over. You're going to be hearing a lot about them in the L.A. market. The question is, Hanzus, and I've asked you it before, but what about when little Jack decides that he wants to make nice with his – friends at school, and he says, I want a Rams jersey. What does Papa Hanzus say?
When will that be? About in first grade or something?
3 years, 4 years from now?
Well, I'm going to put in my three-year notice.
Is that right?
I'm going back to New York. Can't let it happen.
I mean, if you're willing to do that, then your fandom is beyond reproach for all of time. If you move back to New York to prevent such a thing.
Don't put it past me.
I respect it.
Yeah, I'll go with Browns. Who would you go with?
Or
Rams.
It would have to be the Rams. And by the way, as a side note, I'm thinking about, as I just said, you can't do it intellectually. But I think I'm going to try and jump in on the Lakers now.
This is a great time to jump in. You could do that.
Yeah, all new, just about.
Do a couple more, and then we got to get out of here. From Brian Furlong at Furlong B3, what has Sheck done with the toaster since the game has retired? I could tell you this one because it was a little bit awkward. After Sheck defeated Chris Wessling, who that loss hurt Wes more than he let on, by the way. Wes, I think he was confident he was going to get you back and have revenge. Mm-hmm. And then when you took him down again, that stuck to his ribs pretty good.
That's like how the Bengals were in January when they figured, oh, we'll make quick work of these Pittsburgh Steelers.
Very similar. I saw Sheck give Wes the toaster and say, hey, do you want to just keep it in your desk for whenever we need it again? So, and Wes, I think he was kind of stunned, and he said, well, okay. And you have your toaster in Wes's desk right now.
Well, my co-host on DDFP, Handsome Hank Hodgson, with whom you're familiar, the Englishman, he has advocated that I put it on eBay or just, you know, put it out, just like give Smart. It away to somebody, just hand it off to somebody. Like so much trash.
Well, it's your toaster. You do what
you I would want. Like it to hang over. I have suggested, and maybe you can help out with this, Irishman, Wes's seat, I would like it put over his head. Forget the sword of Damocles. I want the toaster of Damashek hanging over Ouch. Wes's head forever. That would be something.
I would even sign off on that potentially because I want Wes to get mad and get angry. And go.
That's not going to help him. That's not going to help him in the and any of this. What's that, how's that going to affect anything?
I believe in
angry Wes is going to suddenly be better at trivia.
Moving on, Tom Marshall at a red zone, UK. Okay, writes, you can add a sport / discipline to the Olympics. What would it be, and would you take part? I assume Connect Four is involved, but you've retired. I thought.
While I've retired, doesn't mean that I don't that my respect for the sport isn't active, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah. I love when people tweet at me about Jay-Z and Beyonce and Rajon Rondo and Kanye. Oh, they're all great. Yeah, playing paper champs, you know. Like, oh, they're good. Oh, they're celebrities. I would annihilate them were I still a competitive four player, which I'm not. I'll play recreationally anytime. Andrews, how say you?
I would bring wiffle ball.
Ooh, that's a fun
one. To the Olympics. And I would definitely play. I still have a mean slurve and a plus fastball. So, and I could hit. I'm a lefty batter in wiffle ball. I don't know.
Annually, we discuss this, and it never comes to fruition. It is an Olympic year. Why don't we? Can't we put it together, the regular guy decathlon this year, Hanzus, before the NFL season kicks off? The regular guy decathlon. 10
idea.
Events. Who can throw a football the farthest? How many free throws out of 20? You know, I don't know. Maybe we go to a golf course closest to the pin or something like that. Connect
it's fun.
Four.
It's a great idea.
Why don't we do it? Who would win?
You know, we gotta put like somebody, maybe an intern or something, to really do the wrangling to get everybody involved because I know there would be interest in doing this.
Whose podcast would win? ATN, you, Wes, Rosenthal, and Sessler versus me, Handsome Hank, Ike Taylor, and Maurice Jones. Who would win the regular guy decathlon?
That's bad. That's a bad job by you. Putting in these ex-athletes, pro bowlers. A bad job by you. Now you would have to go with some of your lost heroes of your own. You'd have to have Rank involved, maybe Elliot Harrison, some other, you know.
All right, I'll take that team you just laid out.
Okay.
Claybon, do I get Claybon?
No, Claybon is just as much our territory as yours.
Well, I don't know where that how you figured that one out, but all right, you can have Colleen Wolf. How about that?
Connie Fox, yeah, we'll take Connie.
All right.
We got Lindsay as well, though.
All right.
Despite you having her on your show today. Which doesn't sit tremendously well with me, but.
I'm sorry, but we did it in the good name of the Bachelorette.
That's fair. That's fair. All right.
We got to do more talk on that, too, by the way. Lindsay Rhodes' rules of inappropriate etiquette, or just basic etiquette rules when approaching a woman, either touching her, weird kissing techniques, and so on that are off-putting to a you know who would really benefit from that? The Irishman behind the glass. He needs those do's and don'ts, don't you?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, a little swagger there.
He's a bit of a coxman, sneaky coxman.
Is that right?
Finally, from Michael Shinholt at Tag About Nothing, Dan does a good British Barnage voice, Gary Barnage. Sheck has his at NFL UK Hank version. Impression off. All right, what do you think, Sheck? You want to do it?
Let's do it.
All right, I'm going Barnish. I'm quizzing, mate, quizzing.
Don't play it, war boy.
I'm mad for it, mate.
Drop the confetti. I'd like a strawberry.
I don't know what you're talking about, mate. I love playing for the Cleveland Browns.
Get on with it, brilliant.
That's all we got.
And that is probably the worst British accent I've ever heard.
There's no such thing as pretzels, Dave. We haven't. There's no such thing as a pretzel.
That That went as poorly as I imagined it would.
Dynamite.
Dave Damashek, football program, two times a week. Dave all over NFL Now, pops up on NFL Network every once in a while. At Damashek. Where are you on Snapchat?
I am. I don't know how to do it, though.
I just got on, too. I'm trying to figure it out.
I don't know what its virtue is. I want to get good at it, but I don't know what it – why do you want to have something that goes away? I get why it started, that you don't want any record of what you're doing. But if you're Dan Hanzus, what's the benefit of saying something that's going to vanish after 24 hours versus it living on?
That's a good question. Well – you're a millennial Irish. Can you tell us the real benefit of Snapchat?
I just got on Twitter. I have no idea about Snapchat.
That's good.
I guess the logic is, as it's been explained to me, I guess it's sort of like a live sporting event. It creates the sense of urgency.
Well, anyway, so
all right, fine.
What is your Snapchat handle?
Damashek.
All right, Damashek.
That's it.
I'm at Dan Hanzus. Follow me.
Wait a second. You know what's going to be cool? This is going to kickstart my Snapchatting, is when I Snapchat Dan Hanzus doing his talk. Go ahead, say something about it.
This is Sheck getting his Snapchat account off the ground. We're all very excited.
What's your name?
At Dan Hanzus. Follow me.
There you go.
Millennials.
So now I'm going to put this out. How do I make it go out now?
I have zero idea.
All right, we'll figure this out
after
the
show.
We'll make it out. All right. We will be back with Mark Sessler. On Thursday, we look forward to that, getting half the band back together. And, yes, you could check out the other half of the Home and Home. I was on Sheck Show today, as we talked about, so make sure you check that out. So that's it. Until Thursday, this is Dan Hanzus signing off for Dave Damashek. Thank you, Dave. You were a true delight.
What a pleasure.
Just a historic day. And also the Irishman behind the glass. Till Thursday.
All right, we're fine.
All right, cool.
Finally. Okay.
Yeah, I gave you a lot of stuff today. Thank you for.
No, that's fine. It wasn't you. It was the iPad. It wouldn't move everything over. We're fine, though.
But just in general, Irish, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Coach. All right, let's do it.